Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live Flannel Panel. It's where the three of us, Chris, Joe, and I, put on flannel shirts and talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. Chris, we had to drop out today. Something came up, and it ended up being me and Joe. And all that means is there's been no literary references.
No, that's not true. A quarter of the first hour was about Mark Twain's biography.
The only reason I was doing that was I was going to try to impress Chris with our literary knowledge, and then he didn't show up. But
he was off the mark.
He was off the mark. Yes, he was. But we should show him clemency.
Oh, nice. For those who don't know.
Yes.
He, in Hannibal Moe, Samuel Langhorne Clemens.
Hannibal Moe.
Enough
obscure puns. On we go. This is what I like about Flannel Panel today, though. Callers are taking the place of Chris. And I would say from our first caller, Lauren, on, they've been better than Chris. They really have. I mean, I think even Chris would agree.
Find out.
Yeah, right.
Might be down to one third of Flannel Panel next week.
You won't be hearing me on the show tomorrow, but... okay, here we go. Let's just go to the phones.
Let's fun. Do it.
Let's open up Flannel Panel. Our newest member of Flannel Panel is Pat in New York City. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I know. Just by the way you said hi, I know you.
Yes, I'm a regular caller.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, I'm the OCI teacher and everything.
Know.
So I think I might figure out what really, really destroyed Sunday Mass attendance, and that is COVID. I think that people were in the habit for going to Mass and also the socializing before and after Mass with their friends.
Yeah.
And when that stopped, people found something else to substitute for the hour or two they were at Mass. And when the Mass came back after the lockdown ended, they preferred whatever the new thing they were doing at that time
right.
to going to Mass. And some people went to Mass and they said, my friends aren't here. And that was why I was coming to Mass, to socialize. So I think the people on the margins with a marginal reason for going to Mass stopped going to Mass even after the shutdown ended. So I think part of what we try to do is we try to identify Catholics who go to Mass, find out if they have friends who stopped going to Mass, and encourage them to invite their friends back to Mass.
Patrick, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
So you teach OCIA. Do you see the same kind of post-COVID bounce that we're seeing across the country?
Oh, I think the surge in OCIA has a different source. And I think what's happened is a lot of children who in the previous generation were brought up by their Catholic parents and dragged to church, or the Catholic parents just disparaged the religion and nothing stuck. And I think the children now of this generation had no religion at all. So they basically are a green field for any idea that brings them close to God, and they have Catholic friends, and the Catholic friends are inviting them to explore being Catholic.
Having a
weak Catholic upbringing or a Catholic upbringing where you were made to hate going to church, that poisoned you. So the next generation with nothing at all actually wound up becoming teenagers and saying, what's the meaning of life? And discovering the answer to that in the Catholic Church.
So your basic solution is invite friends to church with you.
Oh yeah. Half the new people are people who are being invited by people who are recent converts.
All right, Patrick.
It's a chain reaction of conversions. I'm a Catholic. I'm a recent Catholic. I've got Catholic. I'm loving being a Catholic. I got to tell my friends about this.
You know, Patrick, when you called and I heard that it was you, I really wanted to fight with you about something. I wanted this to be like but there's nothing to fight with here. This is a really good suggestion.
We're both good Catholics.
Okay, all right.
I guess agree on.
There you go. Fair enough. Well, thank you, Patrick. Thank you for getting us started for this hour. Thank you for the call.
Oh, yeah. If you have a pivot to Joan of Arc, what's your favorite Joan of Arc film? In 1999, there were two Joan of Arc films, one with Milo Jojovich and one with Lily Sobieski.
I remember both of those films. I don't remember liking either one of them. I do remember thinking the Mila Jovovich one, and God bless her, she's a wonderful actress. It's not about Joan of Arc. It's I don't know what it is. It's an adventure movie of some sort.
I've never seen either of these.
But what about you, Patrick? Did you like the? I'm guessing you like the Sobieski one.
Oh yeah, the Sobieski one features Neil Patrick Harris as Charles, and the bishop who prosecutes there is Robert O'Toole.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so it was a great set of actors. The Milo Jojovich film had John Malkovich as Charles, and not a very impressive cast. And the Joan of Arc film with Lily Sobieski was much more historically accurate.
That's what. Fair enough. But I do think Joan of Arc. You know, this is the age of television. This is the age of the 10-part series. You know. And that's where Joan of Arc would shine. Somebody needs to make a really great, Amazon or whatever, Apple TV or whoever does these things, 10-part Joan of Arc, and then
you wouldn't have to add to the story at all.
No, you wouldn't.
But they would, and they would ruin it.
They would. That's true. Patrick, thanks. Thank you very much.
Okay.
God bless you, brother.
Bye. Sure. Bye.
I like Flannel Panel when people get to call. I really did want to fight with Patrick, though, because he's fun.
And, he is fun to fight with.
The number is 888-318-7884. Let's go to Marianne in Canada. Wait, do I have... hi, Marianne. You up there in Canada? Wrong. Do I have the right line for Marianne in Canada? Oh, she's probably on mute. This is always fun. Nope, she's figuring it out right now. All right, I'm going to come back to you, Marianne. Hang on. All right. Let us go to another Pat. We have Pat in St. Louis. So this is St. Louis Pat. Okay, Pat.
Arc of Pats.
We have a whole arc of Pats going on.
Although this is St. Louis, maybe I should have said of Arch instead of Arc.
Pat of Arch. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, that was really funny when you said Pat, and then he said he was from New York. I was like, dang, am I on already? But like, no, I'm not in New York.
Sorry, man. It's not favoritism. He actually did call like a second before
it's
you.
Okay. Well, I completely get it, and I'm sure it's just funny.
All right. You're our second favorite Pat, so.
For this hour, right?
That's right.
Okay, and it's too hot in St. Louis to wear flannel today, too. It's 100 degrees here.
You called Flannel Panel and you're not wearing flannel? What kind of a Pat are you? All right, my dander is up now, but go ahead.
I'm one who just came from church and with the Eucharist. So that's,
praise God.
There you go.
Try to do that much. So,
beautiful.
But on Sundays, years ago, in fact, I was the interim life team minister, youth minister for our parish, and we just stopped patronizing businesses of pretty much any kind on Sundays.
That's a wonder. I'm so glad you called to say that, because this is something that we can do, and I think it's a wonderful idea. If Christians would, again, just go back to not... Why do you have to go do your shopping on Sunday? Why do you have to do that? And it would allow more people to have rest on Sunday if we weren't out patronizing businesses.
It would.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially non-emergency. I mean, because occasionally you'll have some... I don't want to judge people who something comes up and they realize, like, oh, no, we don't have, the ingredient we need to make dinner tonight, or we don't know, whatever else. Right. I understand those things happen.
Like, you're making goulash. No paprika.
Right.
I've got to go to store.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was driving today and saw, we drove past Dave's Hot Chicken here in Southern California, and their food truck said, open on Sundays, which was a pointed jab at Chick-fil-A, which does not open on Sundays. And I thought, that makes me want to eat there less. Like, the fact that you're not only open on Sunday, but bragging about it in this way to try to entice people to come on Sundays, it's disrespectful to both Christians and to your own employees, frankly. Like, it should be good for restaurants to take a day off. And it should be good for that day off to be Sunday so they can go to church and observe a day of rest.
Pat, we kind of jumped on that because we liked your point so much. But go ahead. This is your time. Go ahead.
That's okay. My wife and I were in college. I'm here because she is from here. And when we were in college, she said something about her dad had worked on a thing. Because they used to have blue laws here, apparently, where you weren't open on Sunday.
Right. Right.
And I remember kind of scoffing at that because, you know, we were young and all that. But I'm like, after a few years, I'm like, that made a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah.
But and eventually his effort lost. And figured, well, we can just do it on our own the same way we eat fish on Fridays, you know, and just do it on our own.
Yeah, that's the truth. And we could, you know, I know parents who have to tell the coach, no, my kid can't go to the soccer game on Sunday morning. We go to mass on Sunday mornings, you know, and it's hard sometimes. But
this is something dioceses can do in Kansas City. This happened, and it was controversial at the time, but I think people like it. No diocesan sports games on Sundays. Because right. If you don't have a policy on that, then it will happen. And then if you're like the one school that doesn't, then they're worried, oh, they're going to get a competitive edge on us. And so then they feel a lot of pressure to do it.
Yeah.
But you can coordinate, you know, there's a problem of coordination that can happen. If one company says, we're not going to be open on Sunday, you definitely take a hit. If every company says, we're not going to be open on Sunday, then everybody just kind of works around it. Right. And you don't have, it's to nobody's advantage or disadvantage. It's just a collective day of rest for everyone. We could do this, but some of this needs to be coordinated. And so on the sports side, it can be coordinated at the diocesan level. Some of these things would probably benefit from blue laws.
I remember years ago, Pat, when some of these stores like Walmart and Target, they started to kind of let their Black Friday shopping encroach onto Thanksgiving. It would be like, our Black Friday starts at 10 p.m. or 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Black Friday pre-sale.
Yeah.
And you're just like, there was a name for that day. What was that?
Yeah, totally. But I do think that people really hated it. Like, people got really mad about it. Like, how are you making workers come in on Thanksgiving Day? And because Thanksgiving is precious to Americans, like we're serious about it. And I do think if we became serious about Sundays again, and maybe this is a place for some cooperation with our Protestant brothers and sisters too, where we could reach out and go, you know, the diocese could say, why don't you reach out to all the, you know, the independent Christian schools and all that and say, look, just let's together agree, nothing's happening on Sundays and the other leagues will have to pay attention to that.
Yep.
Yeah, in my hometown in southern Indiana, up into the 80s, if you were open on Sunday, you were generally only open from 12 to 5. It was pretty abbreviated hours. Sundays at least.
Right. And you can understand because people do have things that they need, like Joe said. You know, like you didn't get diapers on Saturday. Well, that could be a pretty serious situation, you know, so you might need a place to be open. So it's not meant to be a rigorist type thing, but I really like your thing about it. It's not just my personal peace and quiet on Sunday, but if I don't go to the store, we were very impressed. And Joe and I don't think we travel that much because we have talked about the fact that we went to Germany like 1,000 times since we went to Germany. But both of us were impressed with how serious the Germans are about Sunday.
Yeah.
They're not Christians even. They've pretty much given up the Christian faith, but they ain't doing nothing on Sunday. Like, leave them alone on Sunday. And I admire
it. It's not a lack of industriousness, you know?
They're like Germans, they're just, for crying out loud. Yeah, like they're working just as hard as we are. Pat, God bless you. I got to go to the break, but thank you very much for the call. You're almost our favorite Pat now.
Koufax didn't pitch on the Sabbath.
That's right.
Oh, God bless Sandy Koufax for that. That was a great moment in American sports.
It's honestly, it was a good witness. And at a time when blue laws were being repealed across the country.
And also, you know, the greatest pitcher that ever lived. So, I got to go, though, Pat. I got to do this break. Right back.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Back with more Catholic Bye. Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
This is Father John Bonavita Cola. There are many Catholic Christians who turn on the radio and they want to hear something spiritual, something about faith. So it's critical that in every area we can have Catholic radio, and that we as Catholics will continue to support this great work and for bringing the message of the gospel, the message of our beautiful Catholic faith to everyone.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Flannel panel, we're down a member, so you have to be the third member of the flannel panel. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest, I think wearing an actual flannel, which is a, this is a tremendous moment for Joe. He remembered a flannel. Well, he didn't actually remember.
No,
it.
No.
He packed it by accident.
And I think my wife helped me pack, and she probably said at some point, in case you do flannel panel. And then when I discovered it today, I was like, wow, I didn't know this shirt was in there, and we're off to the races.
Your wife is such a good person. I got to talk with her a little bit yesterday, and I was thinking, this woman is married to Joe Heschmeyer. God bless her. You know, I just kept thinking, like, God bless her. She carries a heavy burden, but there it is.
She doesn't carry me. I walk on my own. But she did send us a picture a little earlier. She went to JD Flannel Donuts in Orange County.
So she's participating in the flannel panel by eating donuts.
Yeah, this is her participation in flannel panel.
Good for her. All right, so you are the third member of flannel panel today, and up next is CJ in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Awful glad to have you here with us, CJ. Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Very sure well. Can. It's like you're in the room with us, okay. CJ.
Oh, well, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yes, it would.
I have a very simple, straightforward question. Getting back to Joan of Arc, I just wondered if you guys wanted to discuss a little bit how closely Joan of Arc's passion, and that's what I call her trial and her execution,
right.
How closely it tracks with that of our Lord.
Oh, it's a beautiful question. There are certainly similarities, including the kind of the religious betrayal that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is... leading what appears to be a very popular kind of movement. So you imagine, you know, Jesus walking into Jerusalem or riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, where it just seems like all of the momentum is going in one direction. And then there is this sudden and kind of horrifying apparent reversal that, you know, within the span of a week, you go from Jesus riding in the triumphant entry into Jerusalem to the betrayal and the trial and the execution and then him rising from the dead. That's a lot of things happening. And so you have Joan as well, where she has this miraculous triumph. And then she's betrayed. She's actually first betrayed by the king, who decides he doesn't want her to continue this successful and miraculously successful campaign that she's on. And then she is taken down in combat, and she is put on trial, and so there is a betrayal by the religious leaders, and then ultimately she is vindicated. Now, obviously, her vindication isn't in the form of rising from the dead in the same way that Jesus's is, but I think I see what you mean in terms of the events and kind of the sequence of their lives. There's something deeply Christian about the Joan of Arc story in that way.
CJ, I'm grateful for the question. Are you, like us, a lover of Joan of Arc, or have we maybe enticed you in that direction?
She's my confirmation saint. That's on the J in my name is score. Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
I like that you go by your confirmation name too. My grandpa did that.
Your grandpa Polycarp?
Yeah, exactly. He took John as a confirmation name and switched up. Who knew? No. taking the confirmation name as a middle name is a beautiful practice. So,
CJ, I'm so grateful for your call. Thank you. It does seem to me that...
Joan. I can see why she goes by CJ.
Oh, is your first name... If your first name is Cy, I feel sorry for you.
No. It's Chrysanta.
No, it's not. It's Chrysanta?
Yeah, Chrysanta.
Does that have a meaning? I don't.
That's a weird question. Does that have a meaning?
I always thought it was a Spanish form of Christina, but it's actually a Greek word that means chrysanthemum.
Oh, how beautiful! That is great. Well, chrysanthemum. We are very happy that you called. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I hope you, I'm happy to hear that your patron is Joan, and a little bit jealous too. But she's just a hero.
Chrysanthemum
so
means
wonderful.
Gold flower. That's a cool name. I didn't know. It's
the deeper you dig on CJ, the better her name gets.
So it means it's etymologically related to like John Chrysostom. Because it's the same.
Oh yeah. The golden mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Or Peter Chrysologus. Just throwing out some
we're
other
we're
things that have the
We're doing a full etymology
Greek.
Of your name here,
yeah,
CJ. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Off we go. I'm going to keep going because I'm enjoying. I'm so glad Chris checked in show today. Like, we wouldn't have gotten to talk to
we
any of
should have
these
shirts
people.
That say that.
Get t-shirts that say, I'm so glad Chris checked didn't show up today.
We'll see how long we can sell them through the store before he notices.
Through the Catholic Answers yeah. store. His wife will be wearing one at home.
Exactly.
Like, Jackie, where'd you get that shirt? Pamela, near Spokane, Washington. Awful glad you're here, Pamela. Welcome.
Thank you.
What do you got for us?
Just if I could tell a short story about flannel and how it just was such synchronicity. You guys were in flannel back in 2015 when my husband died in September of 2015.
I'm sorry, Pam.
And sorry to hear that.
What I would get him always for a special gift was a flannel shirt, plaid usually, of course, over many years. And he worked in the woods. He was a logger. So he didn't really wear them out in the woods in the Pacific Northwest every season, but we'd get off work. He had ones that he would wear after work and keep in his car. And then he'd come home and put another nicer one on. Or when we'd go out somewhere to a movie, he'd wear one of the nicer ones. So when he died, I gave away most of his clothes, you know, so people that could fit them. But I kept all the flannel shirts. I'm still wearing them. I've literally worn some of them out working in the yard. I wear them when I do the dishes. So when he died, I had an empty space and I'm Catholic. So I started looking around on YouTube and other things, and I found Catholic Answers by their early October 11 years ago. And it really helped me get through the grieving process just to chat with other Catholics in the chat sometimes, or just to feel I had a family that I could talk to or hear from every day.
Yeah.
Because all my kids are grown and I have great grandkids and they're scattered all over the U.S. So I really didn't have, you know, daily contact with them. And so you guys always wearing flannel. Well, then at some point you called this thing the flannel panel. And I would be wearing flannel watching the flannel panel, and I'm a girl, but he was 6 feet tall, I'm 5 feet, so you can understand I rolled up the sleeves. Right?
Were you married to the brawny paper guy? Your description, like the 6 foot tall lumberjack wearing flannel, sounds like if you've ever seen the paper towel rolls for brawny, this is what you're describing.
Sounds like she has not.
That guy.
Oh, he could have.
He looked like that guy. Yeah.
That's funny.
And so I wanted to share that as a widow, it's been very lonely.
I'm sorry, Pamela.
Widows aren't talked much about in the New Testament, but it can get really, and I don't mean lonely by being a widow. I just mean very lonely in the, as you age. Like, a lot of my friends are dead, you know, that I have for life. And parents, of course, my grandparents are dead. And so it's very hard to be a widow. I had my 71st birthday on August 1st.
Wow.
Very hard to be a widow and be a Catholic. Can you imagine? Because you don't have a husband there to, like, protect you if somebody doesn't like the fact they find out you're Catholic, and that has happened to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a beautiful section in Scripture that I'm reminded of in this. Are you familiar with the raising of the son of the widow of Nain in Luke 7?
I'm going to be honest. It doesn't come to my head at this moment.
So in Luke 7, Jesus is in the city of Nain, and as he draws near to the gates of the city, the only son of a widow has died, and he's being carried out of the city. And there's a large crowd going with this woman. And we're told when the Lord saw her, saw the widow, saw the mother, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." And he raises the son from the dead because he knows how lonely it is for her to be a widow. So Christ knows your loneliness and your grief and is with you in that.
Pamela, I'm so happy you called. What a beautiful call. Well, I'll try to remember to wear the flannel to the flannel panel in honor of you and your husband. I'm sorry that I don't. But what a gracious and beautiful call. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Why do we baptize? Does it really do anything? In Baptism Now Saves You, Dr. Carlo Broussard explains the unbreakable relationship between baptism and salvation, making sense of the Church's teachings in a way that is easy to understand and ready to share. St. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Discover what that means today. Order your copy of Baptism Now Saves You at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. It does seem like this, Joe. It seems like the way the show, we haven't done this before, flannel panel with the caller as the third member of the flannel panel. But I have like a ton more topics that we were going to get to, but it doesn't seem like we're going to get to any of them because it seems like we kind of primed the pump and now the callers are taking over the show.
Yeah, now the water's coming out.
I know how a pump works.
You prime the pump in hour one, and now hour two, we're having a flow of colors.
What do you think of this? I'm kind of enjoying it.
I guess I'd just say this. If the conversation naturally dies out, we can go to some of the other topics we've got lined up, which I trust you've got them lined up. I don't look at these things ahead of time.
I know you don't do any work.
But I
did work, and I have topics, but I would really rather talk to people. I'm enjoying this more.
Yeah, so people online, maybe you can give us your feedback as well. If you like this format of the show, we can do more things like this. An hour of conversation and then an hour of Q&A.
All right. I'm gonna go back to the phones then, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll also take a look over at YouTube and see if people
I can keep an eye on that while you are.
Okay, Joshua, and I think in the Dakotas. I'm not sure what this says here. Are you in the Dakotas, Joshua?
Yes, I am.
Don't be more specific. Dox him.
Yeah, we won't want anybody to know North or South Dakota, Joshua. Let's keep that to ourselves, okay? We can't let that get out. Josh was thinking about it.
I was just wondering earlier on the show. So why, when we were talking about when things are open on Sunday or sports encouraging people to go to sports early in the morning on Sunday, why do they do that anyway, do you think, if they know they're not going to get a lot of Catholic or Christian all around visitors or buyers?
Can I tell you the terrible secret?
Yeah, I'd like to know the terrible secret.
Because they will get Catholics and other Christians. If they didn't, if we all held fast and said we're not going to do it, they wouldn't do it. Back in the day, when Catholics were really good at not eating meat on Friday, then McDonald's created the filet of fish. There's I think I've told this story on the show before, so I won't tell it again today. But originally, Roy Kroc did not want to create the filet of fish because he didn't want the smell of fish in McDonald's. And so he wanted to create the McHula burger, which was going to be a slice of grilled pineapple
on a hamburger bun.
On a hamburger bun with toppings, like cheese.
How? That's like an alternate history where the hula burger won.
And the
filet of fish
lost. A Catholic McDonald's manager said, I think a filet of fish was going to do better. And so he got permission to do it at his local McDonald's, and they competed, and it was obviously filet of fish is 20 times better than the disgusting grilled pineapple
by
with burger
some
toppings.
Miracle, fish beat pineapple as the filling for the Friday.
Yeah,
burger.
Exactly. And you know, if memory serves, didn't the granddaughter, someone who was connected to this, maybe it's somebody who lived in that town, somebody connected with the McDonald's where this had happened, called into the show once.
Did she call in? I know, I remember this vaguely because she's Catholic and I'd remember the story. Maybe she did call in.
I don't really remember. So if you're listening, you happen to be that woman, you can tell we were both impacted enough to remember that you called in.
If you call again,
and
we'll
remember
get you a hula burger.
None of the details. So
That's the thing though, Joshua, I if we didn't go, they wouldn't be open because it wouldn't, there's enough Christians that it would dampen the, If Christian people weren't willing to give up church and do the soccer tournament on Sunday, then they wouldn't do the soccer tournament on Sunday. But the fact is, we are. And so it's not on society. It's on us, I think. Joshua, I'd like to go back to you in the Dakotas and see what you think. What is your view on this?
I think that it's a twisted and demented way to draw in to get money.
Yeah, I think that's well said. It's very hard. I mean, I don't want to just completely defend the companies, but it is very hard. If everyone around you is open on Sunday and you say, we're not going to be open on Sunday, you're losing a lot of business to your competitors. And for some things, like a restaurant, you know, Chick-fil-A is able to be closed and they take a financial hit. But if you're a store and it's groceries or something that you're selling, then they're not going to come to you on Monday because they bought from your competitors on Sunday.
That's the problem.
That honestly makes sense now. But thank you for your time. And before I leave, I'd like to share that I am a regular listener, and I love when you do flannel panel and stuff like this, and I'd like to see more of it in the future.
Oh, that's wonderful. Joshua, incredible. I don't know how old you are, and I guess I'd just say this. If you would like one of our books, the store is open to you. I could send you The Eucharist is Really Jesus.
No, I was going to give him a choice of two books. Do you mind if I give him a choice?
I
was going to say, Joshua, we could send you The Eucharist is Really Jesus or the same exact book in Portuguese, A Eucaristia é Mesmo Jesus. Which would you like? Would you like the Portuguese or English version of The Eucharist is Really Jesus?
Could you repeat the Portuguese slower?
That's mean, Joshua. That's mean. You're just trying to make me say it. A Eucaristia é mesmo Jesus. Don't ask me to say it again, Joshua. I know what you're up to.
Jesus to Jesus. I like that.
Was it Jesus before? I don't know how. I can't speak Portuguese,
no
Joshua.
I'm
putting the kid on hold. I'm putting him on hold. Joshua, have you decided which one you would like?
No, I'm fine.
All right, Joshua, thank you very much for the call. That was a great call, actually. Let's go to our friend Emma in Hayden, Idaho. And when I say friend, I mean friend. We've been talking with you, Emma, for years, and it's always been delightful. Welcome back.
You know, I've been listening to you since just before you got onto the air, and when you changed the, they changed the music. Just, it was just really cool to be part of that.
Wait, well, how did you listen to me just before I got on the air? That's not even were you at my house, Emma?
I know, that's not what I mean.
Okay, oh, okay.
Well, you know,
because that creeped me out a little bit for a second there, Emma.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right.
Forgive me. Okay, so you know how society has this big cursing problem? And even on commercials online, they say the F word.
Oh, I know, I know.
Okay, well, and I don't cuss. But what I do say when I drop the vacuum on my foot yesterday and I say, bad words, bad words, bad words. But I'm thinking bad words. I'm thinking of all the bad words.
Yeah.
Is that wrong? Is that a
sin? Doesn't sound wrong to me.
And so I think we want to make a distinction between different types of words. You know, words that are offensive to our Lord, you know, blasphemies and those sorts of things. We shouldn't indulge those even inside of our minds. You know, a word might pop into your head despite you not wanting it to be there. So I'll give you an example. There's a song that maybe you used to listen to, and it has words in there that you don't want. And so you mute the song or you turn it off. Maybe the song gets stuck in your head. And so the word pops in there, and focusing on it to try to avoid it can make it even worse. But you're not saying it in your head. It's just, it's appearing there. You're not guilty of anything in that situation unless you're purposely, you know, putting yourself in a situation. But words that are degrading to someone's dignity, you know, like really vulgar and vile words, or words that are blasphemous, we want to stay well clear of those, anything that is impure. But then there are other words where they're maybe just angry words, or they're words that are, you know, scatological, where they're rude words, where you wouldn't want to use them in mixed company or in polite society, but they're not of themselves, you know, the kind of words that we're told to avoid in Scripture. So I think if you keep those kind of guardrails in place. I actually yesterday did a live call-in show with Trent Horn in the first hour and Jimmy Akin in the second hour that's available over on Shameless Popery. And that was one of the questions that came up from people on YouTube. So Trent actually goes in and gives his favorite mild bad word. So if you want to hear Trent use language, maybe not what we wouldn't want to use. I actually think you could say it on the radio. It's not very strong. But, you know, you can check that out for, again, just maybe a little longer detailed. These are the kind of words we should avoid. These are the kind of words that we don't need to.
What do you think, Emma?
Offensive God words to the Lord. Those are not the words I'm thinking.
Yeah, you're talking about coarse language or vulgar language, that kind of
yes.
thing. Yeah, it's a sign.
Don't let anything come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I do think it's a sign of the loosening of the standards, and the loosening of the standards have to do with a kind of casualness about human dignity, certainly about human sexuality. There were certain things that it would have been shocking to say in mixed company, as Joe said, that people just say all the time. And that, while that's not the same as blasphemy, like we don't want to put that, that's not the same as taking the Lord's name in vain or anything. It's disordered. And disordered is, it may not be gravely sinful in any particular case, but it's an accumulation of venial offenses against the dignity of society and the dignity of persons that is, it's gross. And we have fallen into that as a society, Emma. I'm
right.
with you. Right. I think you're exactly right. I will say this. I do think that the one of the things Scripture is again and again, like Old Testament, New Testament, there's consistency on watch your tongue. The tongue is the source of evil. Like, and when you take that seriously, when that happens in your life where you go, oh, I should probably do this, you will see a conversion of heart because the heart follows the tongue. And if you are vulgar in your speech, you have that vulgarity in your heart. But as soon as you start rooting it out, two things happen. One, you realize how hard it is to root it out. And two, you do have you have a conversion and a softening of the heart because of the you are making a conscious effort to control the tongue.
It's the rudder.
So I'm okay.
Yes. If you want good spiritual reading, check out James chapter 3. James chapter 3, okay. He talks all about taming the tongue and how the tongue is a fire that can set the whole forest ablaze. But if you direct the rudder well, the whole ship will be directed well. It's good encouragement to take it seriously, not in a prudish way of just being like needlessly puritanical, but of just knowing how we speak and how we act, and which is much more than just saying or not saying certain words. Is what do I say about my neighbor? Because I can be very mean to Si without saying any words that the FCC would have a problem with.
Emma, I got to let you go because we got to take a break. The show always gets better when you call, Emma. Thanks. It's Flannel Panel, but you are the third member of the Flannel Panel. Do more of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards is our show for young adults.
Everybody's talking about encounter. Everybody's talking about that mountaintop experience. What we fail to often talk about is what happens after. What happens beyond that Damascus moment?
Jesus Christ is calling all of us to be missionary disciples, disciples of Jesus who are on mission to bring the kingdom of God here and now on this earth.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demite and Aaron Richards, Saturday at 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Flannel Panel, Joe Heschmeyer's here. We lost a member today to some obligations, and so we decided let's let the third member be you. So we've really enjoyed, I have enjoyed a great deal.
Yeah, I've been having a blast. The cat is away.
And yeah, that's right. And so let's go. Why does it say Jersey? He's not in Jersey. He's got to be in New Jersey. Oh, I see it. That's just like, oh, he's in Jersey. Okay, what do we
see? What are we better than during radio now? Show when you said like, Joycey?
You can't say Joycey. They don't like it.
They
get mad about it.
If he has a British accent, it turns out he's calling from old Jersey.
Yeah, he's calling from the actual island of Jersey. Tom in Jersey,
hi.
Welcome. Hi.
Talking about Jersey, you know, on the original maps, Jersey was J-A-R-S-E-Y.
Jersey.
So, Jersey.
Yeah.
So, but I called about our county, Bergen County. It's in New Jersey, and it has all blue laws that no shopping on Sunday. And it's one of our richest counties that they could afford to, you know.
Are you in Bergen County?
So I'm in Hudson County, just below Bergen County. I'm from Jersey.
Yeah, Bergen County's right next to New York, right?
And somehow they kept the blue laws there in just that one county of New Jersey.
That's right.
It's great. I looked up blue laws in the United States, and Bergen County, New Jersey is its own little inset in the map because it's this tiny little county that in a sea of no blue laws or limited ones, because New Jersey and Pennsylvania have no vehicle sales on Sunday. It's same as Missouri. But that's pretty much it in terms of blue laws, and I have no idea why.
So do you, Tom, have any notion why Bergen County, New Jersey, has no shopping on Sunday? Like, what's the history there? Do you know?
We had blue laws all over the state, but they're all been rescinded. Like in Ocean Grove, you couldn't drive a car on Sunday.
Well, everyone would be safe from me, Joe. That's funny.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, we lost something when we lost that, and I know it's, you know, we're not a Christian country in the sense of that's our official religion or anything, but we there were these goods of the Christian culture that we just gave up so easily. And I'm happy to hear that. So the thriving county of Bergen County, New Jersey is
and literally, that's not a sarcastic thriving county. I mean, it is.
Yeah, he said it's the richest
county. New Jersey Spotlight News gives this description. Bergen's blue laws ban non-essential retail sales on Sundays. Clothing, furniture, home decor, appliance, and building supply stores are to stay closed, though restaurants, grocery stores, and entertainment venues can remain open. So you're not going to have the critique people have of blue laws is, you know, what if you have an emergency and you need, you know, diapers or you need, you know, food or you need something. It's non-essential. The stuff that can wait for tomorrow waits for tomorrow.
I'm actually...
Portuguese question?
Oh, you got something? Oh, you're going to go... You got more for us. You are definitely a member of the flannel panel.
I just want to know why the Fatima prayer, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from fire, all souls to heaven, especially. Why is that said in America and like in France, they wouldn't say Portuguese prayer? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, Fatima is in Portugal.
I think he's wondering why why this spread to the U.S. and didn't spread to France.
They didn't say a Portuguese prayer.
Oh, really?
I don't know what the French do in the rosary, to be honest.
If there's a Frenchman praying the rosary, God bless him, because he's probably the last one. I'm
so mean, but very funny.
I'm delighted to hear that someone in France is praying the rosary. Pray it any way you want. Like, if you're in France, go for it. But I am sorry. You're going to have to help me, Tom. You're saying that in the United States, we pray the Fatima prayer at the end of each decade. But they don't in France. Is that what you were alleging?
I would assume so, because the rosary from Lourdes, of course, there's no Portuguese prayer.
But that predates his appearance at Fatima.
I don't know the answer. I'm thinking that Our Lady will take any rosary from France. Like, I think she's like, just pray one.
I heard a professor once say, if you want God to hear your prayers, pray in French, because it'll get his attention.
That's mean, too. Tom, I'm going to let other people get on, okay? But God bless
you.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
Do I get a Portuguese book?
All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I was kind of kidding. I don't actually have the Portuguese copy to mail, but I'll send you the English copy. Would you accept
it? I would love it.
Okay, so the Eucharist is really Jesus.
I also like that you called his bluff, because I wondered how he was going to send you that Portuguese copy.
I knew the kid would take the English copy. I knew he wasn't going to take Portuguese. All right. Thanks a lot, Tom, for calling my bluff. Hang on. We'll send you. Don't go anywhere. Just give us an address. We'll send you the Eucharist is really Jesus. Will you, Johnny, tell Darren that? Because I got to take this next call. Okay, thank you. Gene in Columbus, Nebraska. If he's looking for a Portuguese book in Columbus, Nebraska, I'm quitting. Hi, Gene.
Hello.
Hi.
First of all, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling, it relates back to when Cy was speaking Portuguese earlier.
Was I?
yeah. Well, my Portuguese isn't too good either, but I think he invited my wife and I to dinner.
I'm so glad you got the secret message, Gene. That was it. What I was trying to say in Portuguese is, if Gene and his wife in Columbus, Nebraska are listening, I will take you out to dinner. That was, in fact, what I said. You are an amazing scholar of Portuguese.
I was convinced. I heard my name in there somewhere. And yeah. And I usually I'm on the lawn when I listen to you guys, but today I was doing the treadmill, and I was able to call and find out.
Well, I don't know when the next time you're going to be in Oceanside, California is, but when you're there, I am taking you and your wife out to dinner. Okay, Gene?
If you stick around, they can give you Cy's home address.
No, don't give, do not give Gene my home address. But in the meantime, could we give you a book?
In the meantime, I was also calling because of comments about lack of attendance at Mass and since COVID. And I recently read a book my friend recommended called The Blessed Eucharist, Our Greatest Treasure. And it's a pretty old book, but some of the things in the book about adoration and the Blessed Sacrament and Mass are timeless. And okay. it really brought back to my attention all the things that you take for granted at Mass and,
okay.
and when a person goes to adoration.
I'll tell you what, I don't usually take recommendations from people, but I'm taking this one from you because you speak Portuguese. And so the Blessed Eucharist by Michael Mueller.
Is Father that Michael Mueller, he's a Redemptorist
Father
priest.
Michael Mueller? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And I'll tell you what, in payment back, because I'm going to try to get at least one or two more on with Joe before we have to go, or with me too. It's not just Joe. It's Flannel Panel today. Gene, just hang on and give us an address. I'll send you The Eucharist is Really Jesus if you'd like a copy of that book. It sounds like you already have a better book about the Eucharist, but if you'd like a copy of Joe's book, The Eucharist is Really Jesus, I'll send it to you. Alex in Fort Hays, Kansas, one of my favorite
yes.
forts in Kansas. I love Fort Hays, Kansas.
I speak down there a few times a year.
Oh,
I
do
love
you?
Fort Hays,
yeah.
Kansas.
Hey, Alex, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to ask Joe if he's going to come back to Fort Hays to speak with us.
I shall. Do I know my schedule? No.
He doesn't know when. He doesn't know what he's doing tomorrow, but he's going to be back in Fort Hays, Kansas. Yes.
I think it's on the calendar for okay. October 7th.
He
in
thinks.
In case anyone wants to come.
I think that's the Feast of the Rosary.
Yeah.
Is that the Feast of the Rosary? October 7th?
Yeah.
All right. What do you got for us, Alex? You're a member of the Flannel Panel now, so what do you got?
So I know you guys were kind of mentioning the whole Catholic revival and Mass attendings. And in my experience, Mass attendings have definitely gone up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I know some of the parishes have really struggled with it.
Yeah.
And my question is whether or not you two think that has to do with parishes and bishops actually understanding what Vatican II was supposed to, what the message behind Vatican II was supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that is true. And I think we can talk about that in two different ways. One is just avoiding the sort of bad interpretations of Vatican II, where it was sort of a softening and a weakening and a watering down of the faith that was spiritually deadly. I heard a priest once compare it to field hospitals where they would water down the morphine to try to make it go further, and the result is just that the morphine didn't work. Well, watering down the gospel has the same thing. You might think that you're going to reach more people by watering it down, but the result is that it doesn't work. And so the places that tried that way, they might have been motivated by good intentions. They might have thought...
Many were, Joe, without question.
They yeah, were. I yeah. mean, you remember.
Yeah, because I was there.
but in all seriousness, I do... Like, it's easy to paint them as villains. I think they were trying to serve our Lord and trying to save souls
yes,
by
Joe.
Not putting up excessively high barriers and by trying to reach people on their terms, by trying to do laudable things, and just in this very misguided way that we have seen abundantly does not work. But there, so that's one sense in which we've moved past a kind of bad interpretation. But another way is, you know, John Paul II got kind of ridiculed for him talking about the coming of a new springtime for the church in the third millennium. But one of the things he talks about is the new commitment of the laity to the work of evangelization, which he said was changing ecclesial life. That's in Redemptoris Missio. And I think we see that in Catholic Answers is one of the manifestations of that, that there was an age in the church where a bunch of lay people having microphones talking about Catholicism would have been unthinkable, partly because microphones maybe didn't exist, but partly because lay people weren't viewed as being reliable or trustworthy promoters of the gospel. And Vatican II, in its call for the universal call to holiness, has really caused enough people in the church to take that very seriously. So I think you are seeing the spiritual fruits of that.
I mean, specifically with like Latin in the liturgy.
Oh, right? Right.
When you go through the Vatican II, the actual documents themselves, it describes vernacular language being permitted,
right,
but not prescribed.
People can now see the documents themselves, and they don't just have to take some liturgist word for it when they say, oh, Vatican II wants us to do X, Y, or Z. They can say, well, no, actually, paragraph 4 of Summorum Pontificum, or, you know, of Sacramentum Concilium says the actual opposite of that, or whatever.
Alex, I'll tell you what, I don't know what radio station you're listening on, but I do think Catholic radio has contributed to that greatly. I think people are much more educated about the faith because people like Dr. David Anders and Jimmy yes. Akin and Joe Heschmeyer are on here helping them be educated in the faith. So God bless all those people that have made Catholic radio possible. Alex, if you'd like a copy of Joe's book, The Eucharist is Really Jesus, hang on. You are a fine member of the flannel panel. You didn't sound like you were wearing flannel to me, but I don't, you know, I don't want to judge you. But hang on, we'll give you that. And that will do it for us. Joe Heschmeyer, I really enjoyed being one third of flannel panel with you today.
Thanks. I liked being here.
And I liked our third member. Yes. They were great. They were great.
He's gotten a lot better.
Thanks all the callers. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here. Catholic Answers Live.